It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We get together and we talk about the stories that are in this week's Lakeville Journal and also sometimes the companion paper, the Millerton News. I know we have Cynthia Schatzweiner. Cynthia Schatzweiner on the telephone. Good morning. Good morning, Cynthia.
We're all a little discombobulated today, huh?
Yeah, just a little discombobulated. And we also have, I won't say Manit Janko, I'll say Janet Manko with us. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. All
right.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I was surprised this morning when I walked out of my house and it was 12 degrees. I don't know why I'm surprised at it because it's wintertime, but anyway. Let us go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal. Lots of color, lots of pictures, lots of stories. We'll start off with vaccines and other updates for the corner. I am 68, of course, and I am part of 1B. And whenever I was told I could go to a website, nope, I have to wait until I'm told to go to that website now. So
it's super complicated, yeah. And a lot of older people are happy to have younger people to help them out with it. But it's definitely not a clear road to getting a vaccine. And a couple of people have emailed us to ask what they're supposed to do. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure. But I think that the vaccines are available. They are available at Sharon Hospital, and they're doing a vaccine clinic at High Watch in Kent. And a lot of it is out on Facebook and Instagram. But I would say the safest thing is just call your doctor.
And also, you can go if you have a computer, and you don't have to be very hard. Type in CT COVID. Okay, it will come up, and one of the first things will come up will be the vaccinations 1A, 1B, and all the stuff like that. And they give you links to go to. And for people that that aren't that good on the, you can actually call a 211 number and get it. You can get a telephone number to call and find out. So it's just having High Watch in Kent along with Sharon Hospital is going to be a huge help out here for vaccinations.
And I think that as long as we can all just be a little relaxed and patient about it, it does seem like it's happening. And everybody that I know who's had it has not had a bad reaction, which is very encouraging.
I think that's the bet. Relax, and once you get the numbers, just keep checking.
I'm just going to interject that our healthcare detective was booked for one. Did everything and was booked for a vaccine on the 30th in Mystic. He and his wife, and they were informed that they were moved back to the they're on Monday now. In Hartford.
That's great. We do have one of our staff who signed up online and got something the end of February. But, of course, they're also hoping it might be pushed up if more vaccines are available. And
it's funny because it's by county by county. Columbia County just released yesterday. They were expecting 1,000 doses. They got 400. And the Albany Medical Center, which had set up almost 5,000 appointments, had to take 1,500 of those appointments and push them back. But you know what? We'll wind our way through it. Everybody just stay patient, and when you get your vaccination, you'll get your vaccination. So
and keep distancing, keep wearing masks, keep being careful.
That's it, yeah.
If you've had your shots, people keep saying to me, well, I've had my shot, and I keep saying, well, I have. We're still keeping our masks on.
I know.
But people seem to be anxious, too, about signing up for the first shot and worrying that they won't get the second shot. And so far, everybody I know has had the first shot. Some have had the second shot. But I would say people who've actually signed up for the first shot seem confident that they're going to get the second shot.
Yeah.
And the impression I get is you don't get told when your second shot is going to be until you get your first shot. But I think it is a little bit of a leap of faith for all of us after a rough.
All right. I talked about this yesterday when there was the big food giveaway in Torrington. You've got a nice story on Chris Murphy being at that food drive and talking about food insecurity and also the attack that happened on the Capitol.
Right. Last week on Tuesday, January 12th, Chris Murphy happened to be in the area to give support. We forget there's so many other things to worry about right now, but we forget there's a lot of food insecurity right now. The lines are really long. And in Torrington at the Congregational Church, they've been doing a food drive regularly and have been surprised. I'm not sure why they're surprised that there are more people during the pandemic, but they said that they're surprised, and there are more people during the pandemic. So Chris Murphy came and helped hand the food, but of course everybody was asking him what it was like to be at the Capitol. So he didn't share a lot of details about, you know, what room he was in or anything, but of course talked about, you know, his anger over how that was handled. But nice to see our senator here.
All right, and well, we'll stay with COVID for just a while. The Region 1 Board of Education, for now, students back in school. And once again, I give Lisa Carter a lot of credit. Some people have been complaining there's too much. She sends out information whenever there's information about COVID in any school or school families. And I think all the regions in New York State, here in Connecticut, I think they're doing an excellent job at keeping the schools open. And sooner or later, your students will be in school on a regular basis. It's just, you know, we have to get through it on a moment-by-moment basis.
And, of course, as newspaper and media companies, we always feel that there's never too much information.
Yeah.
If you don't want to read it, don't read it. But it's interesting to see, and it's interesting to watch, and it's very intricate how they're having to manage it, so that Salisbury Central School had to close down two grades, I think fifth and third. Yeah. So those kids are home for 2 weeks. So they're really on top of it and paying attention. And if you thought scheduling classes at the high school was hard, this has to be incredibly difficult. And, of course, you know, for the parents, we have a parent on our staff of a fifth grader, and it really is, it's very challenging. And
it is challenging, but I think, you know what? Their plans are working out as best as they can work out. They really are. That the schools have put into effect. So congratulations to all the administrators throughout the school systems, because, boy, what a wild ride it's been for them. Go on to another story. Radicalism and religion spawned on Route 20. This is a great story.
Oh, my God. It's really good. And Leela Hawken wrote it. And she did a wonderful, wonderful job with it. And it's about Route 20, yeah, which is, an east-west road across America, but used to go through the Hudson Valley, or I guess still does. And but somehow that road and the displacement of the native peoples and the moving in of people from New England up into New York State brought a bunch of people interested in very independent thinking streams. So there was a lot of radicalism, or a lot of spirituality, odd religion, and so there was a talk through the Scoville Library that Leela covered, and she just did a wonderful job of making it seem really interesting. And I would say that the promotion that the author did for his own, his talk was called "American Sinai: How the Burned Over District Remade Our Nation," isn't automatically interesting, but when you read the article, it's fascinating. So very interesting talks being scheduled right now, and I keep saying this, but that is one nice thing about the quarantine, is there's a lot of incredible stuff on Zoom that you can watch from home.
All right. A little bit over there, I talked about this also on the air when I was reading some of the Metro North statistics. Ridership down by 78%, and somehow the bills have to be paid. It's one of those, you have to look at Metro North, and you have to look at all these public transportation systems and see how they're going to deal with COVID-19 in the long term, because they haven't fired a lot of people. They've got people on, but it's going to really hurt them in the long term for long-term planning.
Right, because when you just the parking alone, because the parking lot is apparently empty, and so you don't think about it, but that's a revenue stream for them. But as Patrick points out in this article, again from another talk from the Scoville Memorial Library, the ridership is down, but they have to put more trains on because there has to be social distancing, and then they have to have people going through and cleaning it all the time. So it's much more expensive for them to run, and I think, you know, the people up here who are still having to work in the city or in the suburbs on the route down, very grateful to have the service. Certainly we're not all going down for shopping trips anymore or to go out to dinner. But, you know, also at this moment, we've seen some recovery in nature from all of us driving less and flying less. So we do want to have mass transportation available for us now and when this is over.
And tucked in the bottom corner is a story, persistence in the face of anger.
You know, and I have to say, we had hoped to have, the Hotchkiss School always does a really nice Martin Luther King Day celebration, and they had one planned with Wanda Houston and other local people, and it was supposed to be on Zoom, and we couldn't get access to the Zoom somehow. There was some glitch in it. So we would have liked to have that, but we are also extremely happy to have the story that, again, Leela wrote about a talk from the Scoville Memorial Library about Tahama Lopez Bunyasi writing about her new book, Staying Woke. and making all Black Lives Matter. And, of course, that's something that's especially on our minds after the inauguration yesterday.
And inside you have a story about the Jump Fest, which is back the 12th, 13th, and 14th with a lot of different changes and safety and rules being followed by the state of Connecticut. It's going to be another interesting trial by experience for the incredible volunteers at SWASA.
Right, and of course, there's a limit this year on how many people can be there. I'm always surprised when people who've lived here a long time have never gone to the jumps. They're so wonderful and incredibly fun and, above all, a really great social opportunity, and there's often big clumps of people, so we can't really do that this year. And, of course, the ground is slippery, so you really do want to keep your distance so somebody doesn't, you know, stumble into you. But they're limiting attendance to 400 people, and people can come in as other people leave, but it's usually pretty chilly out there, so the kids ski jumping on Saturday is early in the morning. I think it's at 9, and that's fun to watch. And then the actual competition on Saturday and on Sunday begins at 11, or the practice jumps begin at 11, and the competition begins at 1. And so Willie Hallahan, who's one of the organizers of it, said, you know, if you want to get there, even our staff have to get there pretty early, and there's not really a lot of places to shelter, so I'm hoping that the weather's always unpredictable.
Well, they are going to set up more bonfires, and once again, have people making sure people stay 6 feet apart. One thing I joke with the members of SWASA about was they don't really have to worry about face masks because most of the people that go there,
they're all masked up anyway. Yeah,
but also, doesn't being outside help?
It does help, but still, it's
and
always
the neat. Fact that some people are vaccinated and some people are
it
well.
It all helps, but you still have to. They have to follow the state guidelines.
I'm all for being conscientious. I just think that everybody can, you know, we've done this now for a while. We know what to do.
All right. And once again, you've got a real long, nice obituary for Donald Connery.
So, Donald, of course, a huge friend of the Lakeville Journal and a personal hero of mine and just the loveliest, most wonderful guy. I'm very sad to see him pass, but, of course, he had an incredibly full life, and we should all do a third of what he did in the years that were given to him. But a Kent resident, a wonderful writer, a Time Life foreign correspondent. And, you know, one of my favorite Don Connery stories is I had three summer interns. One of them wanted to work in national security. And we went over to his house, and he told us these wonderful stories about being in Russia and being kicked out of Russia, you know, working for Time Life during the Cold War, but also very active in land conservation, and then probably most famous around here for having worked with our beloved late editor-owner Bob Estabrook on helping to exonerate Peter Riley, who was accused of having killed his mother horribly, and began a lifelong interest for Don in false imprisonment and in taking young people and questioning them without adult representation. So a really interesting guy and a big loss, but we were lucky to have had him. And then Paul Barron, also a very interesting guy, very active, did a lot for the community. So, and then Betsy Smith, if you turn the page, had a heart attack. She was also, she and her late husband Carter, very active people in the community.
Now, a story that's really interesting, and you forget about it, but in Falls Village, that gas station and little store is still not open. And really, from when you if you live in Falls Village, you have to travel to Sharon or Lakeville to get gas.
Or Canaan,
but still, I mean, that's, you know, by the time you get there and back, if you've got a pickup truck and you're a person that works, you've already used up 3 gallons of the 15 gallons that you might have gotten. It is something that has to be looked at and get done fairly quickly.
I know, and as somebody who passes by that station on a ferry, it's like impossible not to look at it and go like, what the heck is going on there? Because every minute you feel like, well, this is it. It's like spring in New England where you're like, well, this is it. We're here. And then you're like, oh, no, it's no. So we keep waiting for that place to open. It keeps looking like it's just about to open. So as they discussed in Falls Village at the Selectmen's meeting, it's government red tape.
And you've got stories about Kent and Cornwall on the next page, and especially I mentioned this about a week and a half ago when I saw it. The Cornwall website has totally been redesigned, and it's one of the most efficient, easy websites to maneuver that's in the area.
And was a very good website before, too, and lots of beautiful photos, you know, really good artists in Cornwall.
But now it's so easy to navigate now. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Rocco Botto was the designer of it. So, you know, all of our towns are doing their best with their websites, but some of them are a little better at it than others.
Right.
And in Kent, we are moving toward town meeting, and we had a hearing January 12th. They're talking about the five-year capital plan. They're talking about improvements at the school and increasing staff for the ambulance, because as is the case in many of our towns, they're not really able to do it just with volunteers. They're starting to have full-time staff available, so conversations about that.
We'll get back to CompuSet in just a moment, because we only have about 8 minutes left. I want to go to the editorial page, because your editorial, Janet, time to look forward and define a better future together.
Right. This is often the time of year where we think about resolutions that we've made for the new year. We often write about it at this time. This year is so extraordinary in so many ways. And so we decided to look ahead, even though this had to be written before the actual inauguration had taken place. Wrote it as if it was successful, and there's one of the extraordinary things that we couldn't be positive of that before the moment, and maybe that's part of what made the inauguration day yesterday so special and moving for so many people. But among many other things, but we talk about how to do this, how to move forward, and what resolutions we can make, both in the negative and positive sense.
And, just very quickly, you look back at the inauguration ceremonies yesterday, and I watch it every time there's a change of presidency. There's something inspiring about the way we run our country and the way America has democracy. And the highlight of the day was, of course, like everybody else, that poet laureate, the young poet laureate.
Oh, wasn't she amazing?
Who just injected... it was amazing. That's all you can say. She was absolutely amazing. So,
yeah. And so many of those who performed and who spoke were, and it was such a mix of America, and so welcome. So great to see.
Well, the Inauguration Day is always the turning of a page, and is not always an inspiring turning of the page. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's, but it's a truly unique American event. And I have to say, I was glued to the TV all day.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you did get to do that. And I hope anybody who didn't get to do that should stream it again and look back at it, because it really is a very significant turning of that page. We also have lots of letters, and they're about affordable housing, looking for hope. G.A. Mudge writes about that. Gretchen Gordon, Time for Compromise and a New Beginning. John Harney, about the easement at Twin Lakes. So we are seeing the same issues in the new year, and that is okay. We want people to think hard about what should be done moving forward. We have Chris Powell talking about the Hartford Current and the selling of its building, and we have Lonnie Carter on West Cornwall, and a lot of history in here that is just fascinating and fun to read.
And I want to get to a nice letter by Carol Sadlot about the theaters, and also Shelley Humiston talking about the holiday donations through Salisbury Bank.
Right. And it is always great to see how well those events at the bank go for holiday donations. And this was a challenging year for that, because, people weren't going into the bank and seeing the signs about donating. So excellent that it went as well as it did, and that Carol Sadlin writes about how New York State and Chuck Schumer are supporting theaters, and that's the only way they're surviving. And we also have Lynn Rebillard-Riffsnyder on the trees over at Twin Lakes. Don't miss that letter.
All right, and now we can take a look at Compass.
So we have the exciting Sharon Playhouse fundraiser coming
up
this weekend, and Janet and I are watching it together, which is going to be fun. And it's so fun always to talk to Robert Levenstein and Alan ML Wager, who are the heads of Sharon Playhouse, and we're so lucky to have them, because they really treat it like it's their baby. It's not a job. They don't walk in and do what is required of them. They really try their best to make it as fun and as engaging as humanly possible. So they put together a great show at Christmas, and now they have another show that's even better, because they get better at it every time. And it's coming up Saturday night, and there's a Zoom cocktail party. So, of course, all cocktail parties, the more people that come, the more fun they are. So people should turn in for that. And pretty affordable at $25 per household. But, of course, donations are welcome. It is a fundraiser. And lots of interesting singers. And then we have coming up on February 5th, again online, an interesting history. We all think of W.E.B. Du Bois as being a very famous Great Barrington resident, but James Weldon Johnson, also a writer, poet, educator, diplomat, really interesting guy, lawyer, and was living in this funny little shack up in Great Barrington with his wife, who is a civil rights activist also. And this couple from, I'm not sure where they're from, this couple, the Jones family, has bought that cottage, and they're living at it, and they're trying to, they're learning about the life and legacy of James Weldon Johnson, and are sharing some of what they've learned in the Zoom talk on January 5th. And then Boondock Film Society, which has been a wonderful source of entertainment around here, and especially during the off-season, had sort of not been doing much during the pandemic, of course, but they're coming up, let's see, what's the date on that again? January 30th at the Four Brothers Outdoor Drive-In Theater in Amenia, and it's going to be one of the rarely seen James Bond films, which is On Her Majesty's Secret Service with George Lazenby, who was a one-time James Bond, but with also Diana Rigg and Telly Savalas. So it should be kind of fun. It's a super campy version of Bond. And there will be food that's themed, although I don't know the menu yet. And then my friend Daryl Byrne is doing outdoor hikes. And, boy, he really, you know, you think of people around here as mostly not hiking that much in winter. And often when they do, we hear about it because there's a fall or somebody sprains their ankle. So Daryl is the perfect leader for winter hikes. He is a corpsman from the Navy, a retired firefighter and paramedic, and super capable, and will make sure that you don't hurt yourself. And if you do, he'll know what to do about it. But also I've discovered most people's colleges are now doing online exercise classes that are free for you if you're an alum. So go to your college and see what they've got.
All right. I want to remind everybody tonight the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon has a virtual book signing with Bill Noble, a garden designer. Make you feel a little better about the wintertime. 7 o'clock. It's via Zoom. It's free. So go to HotchkissLibrary.org and you'll get more information on how that. And also going on today in between 1 and 4 in North Canaan at the town hall are the COVID-19 testings. It's free. There's no sign-up, there's no cost, and that is happening today between 1 and 4. I just wanted to
I'd like to say we have our Fresh Start banner. Don't miss that. If you're looking to get moving for your resolutions, take a look at that banner. And Tri-Corner Real Estate is in the paper this week.
That is right. This is the first one of the new year, right? The real estate site. So there And if you're looking for a house, get it while you can.
It's fascinating to look at the different prices in different towns for comparable properties. Really interesting just to read it.
And if you ride around and you see a for sale sign go up with a real estate agent, I always try to time them. And as most of these houses are sold within a week and a half to 2 weeks of those signs going up, it really is pretty amazing.
Lots of activity around every possible sale where people are looking. But, you know, this is a time when people do back off a little bit. The winter isn't so easy to travel, so now's a good time to look through Tri-Corner Real Estate and plan ahead.
There you go. Okay, so tricornernews.com, that's where you'll find. You can find the digital versions of the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, and, of course, at your newsstands. And, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can find the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com.